Hello, friends. It's your old pal Ariel Helwani back with another edition of DC and Helwani. And my friends, once again, I know you've heard me say this before, but it's true. We got a lot to talk about, a lot going on, as always, in the world of mixed martial arts. But first, as you know, there's also a lot going on in the world of football. Yes, the National Football League. And I know many of you out there are huge NFL fans like myself. Go Bills. And that's why I can't recommend enough that you all check out Monday's edition of the ESPN Daily Podcast. The great Bill Barnwell is one of the greatest minds in football right now, and he joins my pal Pablo Torre every single Monday to recap the Sunday action. ESPN Daily, download and subscribe to it wherever you get your podcast. And while you're there, can you also leave DC and Helwani a review? You know where to go, right? Do your thing. We appreciate it very much. All right, now on to today's program. And as always, listener discretion is advised.
Now making their way to the microphone, DC and Helwani.
You're such a good friend, DC. If we were in the room right now, I would hug you.
Don't ever hug me. That's where it stops, right? This is where the line's drawn. Don't you hug me, ever.
Here's Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani.
Back in your life on this first week of October 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani. That's DC. I think last week I got it wrong.
You got it wrong again, 2 weeks in a row.
All right, that's DC.
2 weeks in a row.
That's DC, Daniel Cormier. I'm Helwani, Ariel Helwani, and DC, we got a lot to talk about. I just want everyone to know that we are live today, all right? They were very upset that we taped a day earlier last week, so I want to let you know that we are live on a Monday. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited. That's a beautiful shirt you're wearing there.
Thank you.
Kind of makes your shoulders look really small, though. I mean, you got to work on your posture. Like, open it up a little bit. Yeah. You got to get, you know, that's the thing. This is why people come at you, right? People don't come at me because I got big shoulders. But because your shoulders are kind of droopy and you kind of fall within yourself, people come at you all the time. But I'm safe. I'm trying to give you the posture that allows you to make people feel like it's not so easy to talk trash about you. That's why, like, look, see? Big old shoulders, big strong.
You're right.
Who wants to talk trash about this guy? That's why I'm safe. I can say whatever I want, Ariel. And nobody ever comes for me because look at these shoulders.
Well, I have to say, I'm happy to hear that because it seemed like every day last week I opened Twitter.
Oh, wait.
There's someone not only just coming at you, like not getting mad at you, but calling you names, calling you fat, dare I say. I mean, really stuff. What's up with that? I mean, every day. First you had Connor, then Jan, John Jones. Are you okay? No, honestly. Like, if we were doing a show in a studio, I don't care what you'd say. I would hug you because I felt bad. I called you. I felt bad. Everyone was making fun of your weight. What was up with that?
You know, it's very unfortunate that people chose to make fun of me last weekend because I did nothing. I'm just an innocent bystander. I'm just a talking head. Who am I? I'm just a guy that sits in an office and talks about fights. And then these guys, they come for me. They must not be intimidated by my shoulder size, which is very crazy because generally that got me over. But man, They were all coming for my neck last weekend. Everybody came for my neck, but it's okay. It's okay. It is what it is, Ariel. I'm going to continue to do my job, and I'm just going to be as peaceful and as honorable and as humble as I've always been. You know, I'm a humble guy. I just want to make friends.
It's funny because I'm supposed to be the guy who stirs the pot. Yeah, you know, no one said anything about me last week. I was good. I was Gucci, baby. You were the one. Every minute, people making fun of you and not just like making it personal. Jeez.
And I'm not an instigator. That's the crazy thing. It's I'm not an instigator. I'm the guy that people kind of like, it's easy to get along with. And I just don't understand where all these enemies are arising from. You know, it's very scary and very dangerous.
By the way, is it weird for you, though, like as we continue to become, you know, the number one show at ESPN, the fastest growing show?
Hey, I'm telling you.
Is it weird to go from like the lovable commentator guy, the Thug Rose guy that everyone loves, to now being someone that people, you know, I think the kids call it clap back, right? They clap back. Is it weird to be sort of, you know, part of the media where people get mad at the things that you say?
You know, I feel like I'm still the lovable guy, you know, because guess whose opinion matters, Ariel? Mine.
What I think about myself is all that matters. I don't care if these bully fighters, because that's all they are. They pick on me because of my weight. I'm the kid on the playground, Ariel, that's sitting there with a sandwich. And, you know, I don't have a healthy snack. I don't have a healthy snack. I mean Doritos. I got potato chips. I'm just sitting there trying to just enjoy my lunch, and these guys are coming for me. It's bad. They want to clap back. Clap back for what? I'm not doing anything. I give so many compliments. I'm just sitting over here, little old me, you know, at this little – I'm just working this little job at ESPN. You know, I ain't doing – I'm not doing good. I'm not making money. I'm not fighting for championships. I'm just at the playground. I just want to eat my lunch, guys. Can I be anonymous? Can I just go eat and then go back? I'm not you, Connor. Please, Connor, leave me alone, please. I don't deserve this. John Jones, come on, man, please. Can I just please be me? And Jan, please, come on, Jan.
Jan, well, I hope you notice.
Jan, please, because you don't want me to go back to the other guy. You know how the Hulk kind of like tries to stay within himself because you don't want to see the other guy. Come on, Jan, just leave me alone before you see the other guy, Jan. Like, guys, come on. Leave me alone. Don't make me turn to the other guy.
I hope you noticed, though, every single time there I was on the front lines having your back. I mean, I stood up there. I said, take me first. Come after me first, not him. That's my guy. I hope you saw that.
Right there. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. In Louisiana, in the mean streets of Lafayette, Louisiana, we give you cred. I told you a few times on this show that you're getting more and more street cred, more cred in my community, mm-hmm. in the black community. And boy, when you jump out in front of your boy like that, every time when you're taking bullets, I mean, that's my brother right here. I just hit my chest for you, Ariel Helwani.
That's right. That's
my
that's
brother right. with that little half
that's right.
fist.
That's,
you know, little yeah. half fist.
All I sure. want is to be invited to a barbecue. Right that's all I want. And then I
when
walk
you come
into
the barbecue.
Hey, just and hey. I want someone to walk up to me at the barbecue and say, "Here's your towel for the day." That's all
there
I
go,
want.
My brother. There you go, my brother.
That's hey, all I want.
Here's your towel. Here's your towel. Hey, then you come to the first barbecue, right? You come with nothing. They bring you the towel. You
yes.
Then once symbolic. You realize you're there, you
that's
and Jack
will
show up. Y'all got potato salad. Y'all bring your potato salad to the barbecue now? I mean, come on, man. That's Brother Helwani for you. Dude show up the first time with nothing. The second time comes back with the potato salad. That's my boy. Hey, Walter's got his hat on. He Yankees. He got his Yankees ball cap on. Like, come on, Helwani. We in here. That's my brother right there.
All right. So we shall respond to some of these individuals throughout the show. We have a lot to discuss. There's a lot going on in the world of MMA, as always. But first, let us give Holly Holm her due.
Oh,
because hey, DC, two Saturdays ago, we said y'all must have forgot as far as Israel Adesanya is concerned. This Saturday, Holly Holm turned back the clock. Holly Holm turned back the clock, I should say, because Holly Holm, what she did on Saturday against Irene Aldana, someone who, let's be honest, the UFC was trying to showcase Irene Aldana. And there's nothing wrong with that. Fresh face, beat Caitlin Vieira, knocked her out in December, new contender, new opponent for Amanda Nunes. Amanda Nunes has pretty much cleaned out that 135-pound division. This was a big opportunity to use Holly Holm as a stepping stone. About to be 39, 60 pro fights, boxing, kickboxing, MMA. You know, she's had some great days, but maybe those days are behind her. And what does she do? She puts on her best performance since the Ronda Rousey fight back in 2015. DC, she looked incredible. Not only was she aggressive, not only was she on point, not only did she have the right game plan, a career high 6 takedowns. Unbelievable.
Those takedowns get you excited, right? For me, especially for me. The takedowns get me excited. But when you look at this fight, right, you think, well, like I said, tale as old as time. You have the up-and-coming prospect that's trying to get to the title fight. How do you make them real? You stick them in there with a former champion that's kind of on the decline, and you think that that's the way to get that person over. But Holly must not have got the memo. Holly looked as good as she's looked in a really long time. And I watched her on her bicycle as she normally fights, right? She gets on her bike. She's moving around the octagon on the perimeter, and she's kind of a sniper. As you attack, she counters you, and she makes you look bad. Well, on Saturday, when she was circling, she got Irene Aldana to follow her, opposed to cutting her off. That's why you kept seeing that big circle around the octagon the whole time, because Aldana never closed the door, right? It's like you're going off to the left. You're Holly, and you're circling to your left. For Aldana to shut that door, she's got to take a right step to try to line Holly up. She never did that. So they just kept making a big circle around the octagon. And every time Holly got to her spot, every time she felt comfortable, she would explode with a combination. And she was landing these left hands over and over and just really piecing her apart. And then when Aldana started to believe that this was going to be a stand-up battle and she had a chance, Holly starts to mix in the Izzy-style wrestling. Izzy it was beautiful, style. Dog. I've never seen Holly Holm wrestle so much and wrestle so effectively and just really looked as though it was a different class of fighter between her and Aldana. And watching that fight on Saturday, for as good as Aldana has looked, you don't think that there's much she would be able to do to change that result if these two were to fight and the fight played out as it did, because Holly put it on her, man. She worked her over from start to finish. It was never close. There was never a doubt in your mind as to who was going to win that fight.
It was inspiring. You know, I've reached a point, you're already past this point, but I reached a point where I'm like starting to look at athletes and I hear people say, oh, this person is old, past the prime. And then I'm like, wait a second. I'm the same age as that person. Holly Holm and I are the same age, 38. And so to see someone who is towards the end of her athletic career and an all-time great do that against the youngster when everyone was saying retirement. And also, she's been through a lot. Divorce recently, her father had a stroke. And to see her put on a performance like that, DC, now let me ask you this. Is it possible? And I don't think the UFC, because look, this is the situation. Amanda Nunes is the 145 champ and the 135-pound champion. We know that she's going to fight Megan Anderson in December. So they have a little bit of time. But let me ask you, the Holly Holm that fought on Saturday, can she beat Amanda Nunes?
So here's the problem with that, right? Amanda seems to be so far out ahead of him. But if there's anybody that goes into a fight as the underdog and overcomes those odds, we saw Holly do it before with Ronda, right? But the problem with that is she fought Amanda and she got knocked out and got kind of beat up. So I just don't know, man. I don't know if she's made as many adjustments as she needs to close that gap, because we're not talking about a gap of this size. We're talking about a gap where my hands aren't even on the screen anymore, right? That's how big the gap was between her and Amanda in fight number one, because Amanda felt no threat. That's what people don't understand. Amanda Nunes is able to do what she's doing there, but she doesn't feel threatened at all. Nobody hurts her with punches. Nobody puts her on her back to where she feels uncomfortable. Nobody's been able to make her feel threatened for so long now that she's just mowing through people. And every time she does it, she gets more and more confidence to continue down the same way. I don't know if she has made adjustments to beat Amanda. But what I do know is we should live in what we saw on Saturday night, because that's what people do, right? You rush to what's next. Mm-hmm. And we're rushing to what's next for Holly, and it may be a fight that we saw her lose so clearly the first time. Why can't we bask in what she did so impressive on Saturday and not worry about what next right now? We can do that later.
Yeah, no, that is fair. We're sort of like the Monday show, so we like to look ahead.
No, I hear you, but I'm saying like, no, we are. But it's like, let's bask in what she did, because
100%.
What are we going to do, rush her into a fight where she kind of got outclassed last time? And then when you start doing that, you start talking about the greatness of Amanda Nunes and how she made her look before. And then the spotlight kind of leaves how impressive she looked on Saturday against tough Irene Aldana.
Like I said, she's not going to fight Amanda Nunes next because Nunes is booked, and I don't think that Holm's going to sit out for, you know, if Nunes is relatively healthy after that fight. You know, she comes back in March, April. The two fights that make the most sense to me are Caitlin Vieira, who won 2 weekends ago against Tajara Eubanks. Okay, that's fine. But really the biggest fight that they could do is the Jermaine Durandamy rematch. They fought for the inaugural 145-pound title. It was somewhat controversial with Durandamy hitting her twice after the belt. She wins the belt, right? And Durandamy looked great once again on Saturday. Still a factor, picking up her first ever sub, a former AKA fighter, right? Jermaine Durandamy from back in the day. So I think that that's the fight that would make the most amount of sense to see who's improved the most since their title fight back in Brooklyn a few years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the fight, right? And once these two fight and Amanda is done with her business with Megan Anderson, now you can justify either of them getting a rematch, right? Because if Holly looks as she did Saturday against Jermaine and beats her, now we can point to, okay, she lost to this girl the first time. Now she's beaten her. She looks so great against Irene Aldana. So now let's see if she's made the improvements to fight Amanda. And if you put Jermaine in there, watch Jermaine fight Holly, and maybe Holly tries to take her down a number of times like Amanda did. And if she's able to defend takedowns and able to stay upright, you go, okay, now I can see her back in there with Amanda. Because guess what? In the fight with Amanda Nunes, The reason Amanda took it down so much, she wanted no part of the stand-up with Jermaine Durandamy. And that, and I'm sorry, earlier I misspoke. I said no one has made her feel threatened. Jermaine Durandamy made her feel threatened. Remember, she was punching her and she kicked her in the head? That's when Amanda started wrestling, because Amanda went at her hard like she does everyone. And Jermaine was like, okay, this is going to be a stand-up fight? I'm all for this. And Amanda had to pivot and showed how smart she is as a fighter. But I think they fight again. And the winner, you can justify giving them a rematch.
I feel comfortable in saying this. In the UFC, because, of course, if you're talking about the sport, you have to include Chris Cyborg, but she's the Bellator featherweight champion. In the UFC, the second best fighter at 145 and 135 is still Holly Holm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel confident saying that, too. I agree with you 100%. Also, I saw a little tidbit on the internet this weekend. Holly Holm this year is on the ballot for the Boxing Hall of Fame. Mm. Right, I saw that somewhere, that she's actually on the ballot for the Boxing Hall of Fame. So it speaks to, I think Kevin Ioli posted that. You know, he's a boxing guy. Holly being on the Boxing Hall of Fame shows the longevity and the amount of success she's had across two disciplines, which in obviously are both a part of mixed martial arts. So that's big, man, to be on the ballot this year for the Boxing Hall of Fame and also getting these wins at 38 years old. Remember, Ariel, my best year ever in MMA, I was 39. So time's not over yet for Holly Holm.
Yeah, and there is something to be said, once again, like we learned 2 weekends ago, that there's levels to the game. And when you knock out someone like Caitlin Vieira, that's great. But then you fight someone like Holly Holm, who's an incredible, accomplished fighter in multiple disciplines, it's a different ballgame. So for Aldana, first main event, big-time fight. She's not done by any stretch, but has to, you know, rebuild and work her way back up. Here's the thing, DC. What I loved about Saturday's card so much was, you know, obviously not the most stacked. It wasn't 253 or anything like that, but there were two real, like, feel-good stories. And it's funny because both of them come from Albuquerque, the 505, with that rich fighting tradition. I've been to Albuquerque several times, and I know.
I've seen.
I don't know if you know, but I walked around the park with Johnny Bones. You know what I'm saying, Johnny Bones and I.
I have seen you.
You know,
I have seen.
Love
you.
Me there. You
got Bob Robin.
Hey, they got the green chili and the red chili. I like to do Christmas and put them both together, just for the record. Ever do Christmas?
My guy, I've never done that.
Oh, it's great. I learned that in the 505. Anyway, the way they speak about Holly Holm and Carlos Condit, it's like that's their pro sports team. They don't have a pro sports team. Holly's number one by far, but they love Carlos Condit. Dad works for the government. They love the natural born killer. This man was facing a 6-fight losing streak, DC. He had not won since May of 2015. May of 2015 was Carlos Condit's last win. It was against Thiago Alves. And what does he do? Solid win over Court McGee. Now, the question is, why not walk away now, right? You got the win. Why not? Why do some people like you know when to fold them, right? And some other fighters we see is more often than not don't know when to fold them, and they keep holding them. Why not walk away now? Well, on a high, right? Not when it's getting uncomfortable.
You can say that. You can say that, like, I know when to fold them, but did I really, right? Because the reality is if I knew exactly when, I probably should have stopped after Derek Lewis or after Stipe Miocic when I had won the heavyweight title, when I had both titles. That would have been the fairy tale ending, right? Not leaving after losing two fights. Carlos Condit still feels like he can compete, and it's all he knows, right? It's what he does, and then he goes out and fights Court McGee, and he fights in the way that he did. He looked really good, man. His combinations look crisp. And when you look at Carlos Condit, and you maybe squint a little bit, you know, you might squint like this. You see the guy that knocked out Dan Hardy, right? And you see the guy that kicked GSP in the head. You can still see flashes of that guy. But reality is, we as fighters, as we get older, all we're doing is squinting. Because when we watch ourselves, we still see that guy. When in reality, to the rest of us, that guy's not there anymore. So when Carlos looks at himself in there, especially getting his hand raised, it's just a throwback to all those years before. And it's that feeling that you never get tired of. You never get tired of that feeling.
You just opened a door, a window, dare I say, into your soul. Were you hinting at the fact that you regret sticking around as long as you did?
No, I don't think I was hinting. I'm not saying that I'm regretting it. I'm saying that if you say I knew exactly when the fold of the fairy tale was knocking out Stipe, right? Or the fairy tale might have been going and collecting that big check for Derek Lewis without having to do a training camp. That's a fairy tale. Fairy tale's not walking out of the octagon after losing twice, right? That's a fairy tale. So I can't sit there and judge Carlos Condit when I feel like everybody's addicted to the drug, right? I could have stopped at 39 and held true to my promise of being done by 40 and at the top of the sport, and nothing would ever have been questioned. But I stuck around twice and lost two fights. So it's not just me. It's like fighters. It's not just Carlos. It's not just BJ Penn. It's like everybody. It's a drug that you don't want to let go of, that high of fighting in that octagon and getting your hand raised. Because again, when we see ourselves, you know, you put that video up the other day of me and Alexander Gustafsson in 2015. When I fight today, I still see the same guy, right? Because you live in those moments. And Carlos Condit still sees that guy that was on a tear and just destroying dudes to becoming the interim champion.
I don't know if this is right or wrong, but there's a part of me as we all grow older that, you know, there's these new fans now that I know for a fact don't know who Carlos Condit is and just think he's some like prelim scrub. And there's a part of me that's like, okay, you know, I know it wasn't vintage NBK and Court McGee's great as well, but he's also a veteran. All right, I'm not going to make it out to be too big of a deal, but it's nice. I don't want to see like what happened to BJ Penn, to these guys, right? To the guys who made the sport what it is today. So there was a part of me, I will admit, it was like, man, good for you, Carlos. And that's all I'm saying. That's all
no,
I'm saying.
No, for sure. I hear what you're saying. Like, I don't think for a second you're trying to like mess with Carlos. I'm just saying that it's hard, man. Especially when you're a guy like Carlos Condit, natural born killer. Dude's a man. He was the man, right? We all had that feeling when he would walk to the octagon, right? Swagger. And he was like, he had that look on his face. But I would like for him now to be in there with guys like Court McGee if he's going to continue to fight, because those are longtime veterans. My worry is like there's no space to hide in the UFC, right? You end up like Diego Sanchez fighting freaking
Jake Matthews
the other day. Like that's what I don't want to see for Carlos.
Well, there was talk of Matt Brown afterwards, and they've tried to
and
make
that would be fun. Right? How fun would that be for us to watch him and Matt Brown get after it?
Yeah, because they've tried to make it. You know, for the past 5 years, unfortunately, injuries stopped them from making it into a thing. The Nick Diaz one was thrown out there as well. You know, I don't know what to make of Nick. He still seems to be in the gym. But that, you know, that was a great fight. UFC 143. A lot of the Diaz fans think, I think, 1, 2, and 5. I think they say when talking about that fight, rounds 1, 2, and 5 for the interim title. That would be a fun one. The spinning expletive fight, if you recall.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see. And it was nice to see two Albuquerque guys, you know, just because it's such a great town, Albuquerque.
And have Carlos get a victory and fight like he did, right? Because, like I said, man, there were moments in there where you saw that guy throw a combination, the high kick would go behind it. Remember his beautiful – the combination he would throw all the time? He would go bop, 1, 2, and then that kick would come over the top, that right one, as he would be leaning off to the side. It was nasty, and you kind of saw a little bit of that. So good for Carlos. And Carlos is a nice guy, man. He's a really nice guy. There are some good people out of Albuquerque. I mean, Holly Holm is fantastic. She's as sweet as they come. Carlos Condit is a sweet guy, too. He's a very nice guy. And I was happy for him. I was very happy for both. And the city of Albuquerque.
That's right. The 505. You got the green. You got the red. My mom's two favorite fighters, Uriah Faber and Carlos Condit. She stayed up to watch her guy Carlos get a big victory on Saturday. By the way, I'm not trying to stir the pot. I promise. I know a lot of people are saying I'm rubbing off on you. I promise I'm not trying to stir. But I couldn't help but notice, because after Carlos and Holly win, you know, I ran over to John Jones's Twitter just to see what he would say, you know, because the weekend before he was talking a lot of tweets about Jan, a lot of tweets about Izzy. No tweets. I mean, not as many tweets. I just thought that would. Maybe he was busy.
Well, because the reality is like it doesn't. It listen, man.
I'm not trying to. Listen.
Well, because the reality is this, right? Some people just care about themselves, right? If it doesn't directly affect him, what does it matter to him? I thought Holly was his friend. I thought Carlos Condit was a teammate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought those guys were his friends and teammates. But you could talk about Jan Blachowicz. You could talk about Izzy. He can machine gun tweet about Izzy, but you can't machine gun tweet about your own friends. I mean, what kind of – hey, with friends like that, you don't need enemies, man. With friends like that lurking in your area, you don't need enemies. I can just imagine. Ugh.
Well, we're going to talk a lot more about John Jones and Izzy.
Why are you such a pot stirrer, dog? You're bad.
Listen, oh,
it happened again. I didn't even catch it. It's like you did it to me again. You did it to me.
I don't know
again.
What you're talking about. I think that's unfair. I think I'm doing my job. I think if people really, truly knew who the real pot stirrer was here. I mean, you're just all week long telling me, hey, did you see this tweet? You better.
No, I'm not. This. No, I'm not. I'm just a nice guy.
Did you see Zubaira miss weight? Did you see that?
I never said that. You actually told me, Zub. You actually told me that.
Hey, did you see that 4 pounds over? Anyway, we'll talk about all those guys in about 30 seconds. But first, DC, a word from our sponsor. Let me tell you, DC, about our good friends over at DraftKings. I don't know if you know this, DC, but there's a lot of football action going on these days. Yeah, I noticed the Saints going to Las Vegas a couple weeks ago and losing. I noticed the Buffalo Bills going into Las Vegas yesterday and winning and improving to 4-0. But what you know about that? Hey, did you do the dance yet, by the way?
First off,
a lot of your friends are mad. They keep texting me. Can you tell them to stop texting me?
I'm going to do it from Abu Dhabi. Like, I'm trying to do it from Abu Dhabi.
They're going to ban you in Abu Dhabi if you do that.
I'm trying to make it from Abu Dhabi next to the pool. I'm going to do that dance next to the pool from Abu Dhabi in my bathing suit. Y'all want to see it? Y'all going to really see it then.
Okay. I can't wait for that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
By the way, I do have to ask.
Hey, that is actually I'd rather get punched by Stipe than actually have you say gold Ariel to me one more time. Or make it rain. If I ever got to hear you say make it rain again, I'm going to lose my mind.
Ariel equals make it rain. In all honesty, I get, like, when Connor does it, it's fine. When John, but Jan Bohovic calling you out, was there a part of you last week that was like, you know what, youngster, new champ? Maybe I just remind you a thing or two. Was there any part of you? Come on.
He said, get off the couch. No, get your fat off the couch. Don't try to – the low-hanging fruit, they always take it, right? It's right there. Let's call DC fat, you know? Look, like I said, man, for about 20 minutes, I was like, you know what? I can actually make this title fight happen because the reality is I can, right? Like, I didn't lose that belt. I walked away from it. Maybe I should go down and beat this dude and put him in his place for about 20 seconds. Then I thought about the weight cut and training to fight and all that other stuff. So he kind of dodged a bullet. You know, Jan Bohovic dodged a bullet because the reality is hands off, champ, hands off. But you don't want to fight that guy, man. That guy, the other guy is not nice. You know, we've seen him put it on a lot of people, also including a guy that, you know, the reason that John Young's mad at me. You know, I put it on Alex. So it is what it is.
I mean, listen, I'll just say when I saw
what was up with Jan, bro? Like, but that was kind of crazy, right? Like, I gave him so many compliments. I made a video of him.
Everybody's
so mad, right? The moment you say something negative, but boy, when you're praising them and you're showering them, they want to retweet and they want it to, oh, you're a great guy. But the moment you say something that they don't agree with, boy, they're sensitive. They all want to get upset.
Hey, welcome to the last 15 years of my life. You could glow about these people all day long. You say one negative thing, you get a call, you're this, you're that. I mean, geez, Louise, where were you when I was saying 98% of the positive things?
That's crazy, man. Dude's got to chill. Dudes really need to chill. Because the reality is, for Jan Bohovic, we help him. We help, right? Us talking about his victory and how impressive he looks, or getting eyes on that. Because guess what? I was watching Jan Bohovic and his tweet activity. It's never been higher than when he came at me.
Yeah.
And then when I responded to him. So his tweet activity was through the roof in those interactions. So it helps him. But the reality is, it's like, what's the payoff? You come at a guy like me, right? What's the payoff? You don't start rivalries when there's no payoff. And the payoff for him would be, him and I fighting, and like that's not really what he wants to happen.
Maybe he is trying to get that to happen.
He doesn't want to fight me, man.
Maybe you get that title on the way out. What if you do it? One last training camp. I'll fly to Gilroy. I'll stay with you for 3 months. We'll do this together.
Ariel, you come here and try to. You come here and do what I do to make 205 pounds. You weigh 140 pounds. I mean, what do you weigh right now? 170? You'll lose 30 pounds if you come into a training camp with me trying to make 205. You'll be 140 pounds.
I wish I weighed 170.
Well, you can't weigh no more than like 175 at the most, huh?
I'm 200 pounds.
Come on, Ariel.
I have very
thick legs. There's no way you weigh 200 pounds.
Have you ever seen my tree trunk legs? Very thick. So, very
there's
thick.
No way you weigh 200 pounds.
I mean, I'll take a picture.
You're 200 pounds?
200 pounds. Very thick legs.
I thought you were about 168 to 170 max.
There's a misconception out there that I'm some sort of like frail weakling, a flyweight.
It's those shoulders, man. It's those shoulders, man.
Look at what are you talking about? Those shoulders.
It's those shoulders, man. So shoulders, but nah, man. I hear you. But that lasted about 5 minutes, where I was like, you know what, man, I might be able to make the Jan Błachowicz fight happen. But then after that 5 minutes, I was like, you know what, man, I'm good. Hey, Ariel, listen, I make a lot of money talking about these fighters. Like, it's like crazy, right? Like, you go fight, like, when you've got as many championships as I got, and you make. You've made a lot of money fighting. It's like you make a lot of money talking about fighting. It's like, man, do I really want to go back through that? I don't know. I just
love that at some point in around 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, people are going to forget, and the fat jokes will come, and they will forget that you are a 2-time Olympian, All American, state champion, multiple time UFC champions. They will forget. Mark my words. They've already forgotten. 2 months later, they've forgotten.
It's over.
Hey, they best recognize, you know.
Hey, you know, they told recognize. Me, they said that when Jan was picking on me, everybody's like, why would Jan want to fight a guy that's just on TV? Like, they're like, what? Like, oh, you guys forgot already?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you lose a couple fights in a row, you know.
Okay, now let's talk about John Jones. DC, oh. I have something very important to say. I have something very important to say right here and now. I've thought about this all weekend long. So since we last spoke, John and Izzy have been going. I mean, it's just been nonstop. Izzy, man, the guy, like, just
– he's bad.
Let me tell you something. We've learned about C-level Kane. We've learned about motivated BJ. Let me tell you something. The most lethal of them all is quarantine Israel Adesanya, because the guy just doesn't stop. He is ruthless. He does not stop. He is relentless.
Internet Izzy. Internet Izzy is the worst.
That might even be better.
Listen, Internet Izzy's bad.
I have to say something. Regardless of what happens on October 24th between Robert Whittaker and Jared Cannonier, regardless of what happens in December between Darren Till and Jack Hermanson, the UFC has to make this fight right now. Right now.
What did I tell you?
I thought about it.
Laughed at me when I told you.
Right
last
now.
Last week, you were like, no. I'm like, it's the time.
Right now's the time. December. Do it December 12th. Hey, I'm hearing Usman Burns, maybe not 100%. That's what I'm hearing. They've already reached out for Stipe and Francis.
Really?
Yeah, they've already reached out. Not great.
Stipe won't do it.
Not great. Listen, Izzy versus Jones might be one of the biggest fights the UFC could put on right now. They hate each other. There's heat. And by the way, this is the best part. There's no belt attached. Have Izzy go up to 205. It doesn't hold up any division. Jones isn't the 205 champ anymore. He's waiting until, you know, the whole heavyweight title thing gets resolved. Make that fight. Forget about 2021. That fight has to happen. It will never be hotter than right now. DC, they can't. This is like the Undertaker's WrestleMania streak. You can't risk having Jon Jones lose his streak to some jabron. You can't. You lose it to Izzy, potentially. And now the torch has been passed, right?
Wait, you're picking Izzy?
I'm just saying.
Well, you just said, so you're also, saying, you picking Izzy too?
I'm saying it's safe.
You're picking Izzy too, because I'm picking Izzy. You picking Izzy too, I'm picking Izzy.
I'm saying it's safe. You don't so want to have.
Right? Like, so we're good, we're picking together. Like, we both pick Izzy?
All I'm saying is you got to book him correctly, because there's a chance, let's be honest, John hasn't looked great in his last couple of fights. There's a chance he loses in his heavyweight debut or in the next fight after that. You do Izzy versus John Jones in December, you're welcome.
That's the fight. I told you last week it's the fight, and boy, it got ugly last week. It got ugly because there were personal insults. There were attacks on family. There were so many different levels of disrespectful tweets. And Israel Adesanya, I promised to correct his name after how good he looked a couple weeks ago. Look, man, there is a level of research and things that you will do in fight promotion. At least that's how I looked at it. If I said something about Jones or Miocic or Gustafsson or any of those guys I was fighting for titles, I would generally try to find out if it was true. I always tried to find out if it was true. Trust me, I've always heard about Jones hiding under the ring whenever we were going to fight the first time from the drug testers. I just didn't know if it was true, so I never said it. But these younger kids, these internet kids, they don't care if it's true or not. He takes anything and he just uses it. He's taken every rumor he's heard about Jones and he just uses it. And it you got to leave those kids. I'm like the old guy on the porch. You better leave those children alone because those children will get you. Bro, could you imagine Jones's house? There is so many broken things in his house after last weekend.
You think he's getting under his skin?
Oh, my good. Dude, they said somebody was like, one of my cousins was like, they better put Jones on suicide watch. Because dude's all over him, man. Like, dude won't stop. And then he starts hitting him. And Jones has never really dealt with that before, right? Because he's generally the guy doing it to us, right? And I felt horrible when he mentioned his mom. That to me too was much. Like off limits.
Too much.
Wait. Jones's parents, his mom was a sweet woman. I met her after, the first fight. She wasn't here in the second fight. She was really sick at the time. Beautiful lady. So sweet and nice. His dad came and talked to me after both fights.
Wow.
If we're in the same place, talked to me about my wrestling career before, whenever, because he paid attention. Like, he was a very nice man, right? Izzy shouldn't have done that. But listen, I remember a time when I was the older guy and Jones said something about, DC, I'm your daddy, right? Didn't know about my father being killed when I was a kid. Went so far as to have Dana White call me on a conference call to apologize, right? So now he's aware and he apologized. But then he did it again, right? Then he did it again and talked about being my daddy again. So then he was doing it knowingly, just as Izzy's doing it knowingly to him. So when you start to open that can of worms, man, you can't feel like a victim whenever somebody does it to you. I would never have done that. That is not my style. And I think that family members are off limits. But again, Jones also said he would come into my house and slap my wife on the butt. And there was nothing I could do, right? So it's like you start to bring family in there. And it's pretty much, you're kind of opening a can of worms that you shouldn't. And you don't do that with these young guys because Adesanya is so – he's willing to play that game. It's sad. It's actually really sad.
I remember that exchange. You also responded.
Well, in response, I did say something about his wife too. I mean, like, yes. Hey, you
that's when it got its ugliest, I think, between
it gets ugly. Well, no. That wasn't the ugliest it's ever been between him and I, but
– When was it uglier than that? Talking about your wives?
Talking about our wives is ugly. But, like, you know, all the hurling the insults at each other – fighting inside of the lobby of that place. Like,
sure.
All that was bad, right? But, like, I just feel like now he's in a rivalry now with a guy that's willing to pull no punches. Because the reality is I was very measured in the things that I said at times because I didn't know if they were true. So
race, religion, family. Let's just keep that off limits.
We've talked about each other's families. So I can't say that families are off limits because I was guilty of it too.
Well, I mean, you could still be guilty of it and say now as
well, you know, as time has passed. Yes. Yeah. Looking back, I would have preferred not to have gone there. But I think especially a dead parent, that's off limits, man. Especially Jones' mom was a nice lady, man. She really was. And she loved
I know it's kid. It's easy for me, media fans, to say, hey, you crossed the line. But I know you guys, you legit hate each other. Things are said. You want to one up the guy. You want to get him back. I get it. I understand it. These two guys, all I'm saying is if you're going to subject us to this, to the amount of tweets.
Where's the payoff?
You can't subject us to this and then say, oh, but I want to go do this. Or I want to go do that.
Who doesn't want the fight is the question.
You know what?
Where's the holdup? Because it sounds like Jones wants to fight.
My understanding is they've never seriously talked about the fight. And
it sounds like Dana's about ready to start talking about the fight, though.
He should, because A, it's a big time fight. It's the perfect time, right? If you have Izzy move up to 205, he doesn't win that belt and hold up.
Wait. You want Izzy to go up to 205 and Jones to come down. Jones cuts weight to 205.
Well, come down.
Right?
What are you talking about, come down? He's a 205 guy.
Yeah, he has to come down to 205 now. Because if
what come down?
He's always never fought about 205. Because he makes 205. John Jones does not weigh 205.
Okay.
When I fought 205, I weighed 245, 250.
He doesn't Jones have to cut a lot of weight.
Pounds. If Jones is 240 pounds, he has to come down 35 pounds. And Adesanya just shows up. He probably only weighs 215. He might weigh 215 max. What's the alternative? I don't know. That's the things you have to negotiate. Wait, is it easier? What's easier and more fair for Adesanya to go up a little bit more, maybe 215, and Jones come to 215? Hmm. Or is it up for, you know, like, that's the thing, though. But those are all things that are going to be discussed, because guess what? Neither one of these gentlemen will want to give anything at the negotiating table, right? Jones will be like, why do I have to go down the scratch championship weight to fight a guy coming up, right? So I
feel like 205 is symbolic, because John has been the guy there for so long. You haven't fight at 205. Look, people have gone up and down all the day. I mean, it just happens, right? I mean, you went up. Like, it just happens. Connor went, you know, like, that's the game. With UFC doesn't like to do catch weights, right? They don't like to do catch weights.
I think it has to be a catch weight. I just really don't. I think if it was me in that same situation, my sticking point would be, why do I have to get to championship weight to fight this guy who's coming up? Especially a guy, I mean, Izzy's what, 6'4"? He's a big dude. He's a big guy. He's a big guy, right? So that would be one of my sticking points. Like, why do I need to go down? When I fought Anderson, right, and Anderson was coming in on a couple of days' notice, I tried to talk my way out of making 206 pounds. Because I was like, why not 210? He's bigger than he's 210.
They don't like catch weights, right?
Yeah, like, let's just go a few extra pounds so I don't have to suck all those last few pounds off, because those are the hardest ones to make. So I think when you get into it, I think you'll see some sort of a concession. They're going to have to make concessions. And I just don't know if Jones is going to want to go all the way down to 205 to fight him. Or maybe he will. I don't know.
Deal with that later. For now, get it's the to fight, talking. Though. Izzy told me last week, I want to fight in December. It's perfect.
Would Izzy fight Jones now?
He didn't want to get into specifics about who, what, when, where. He wants to fight him. But also, when I spoke to him, was before this onslaught. So I couldn't really ask him about, like, hey, man, come on. Like, you're subjecting us to this. Like, let's go. This is a fight to make. There's nothing better. Can I just say one other thing? Can I just say, hey, your boy Paulo Costa needs to chill. He needs to chill. Hey, because this guy's saying, sign the contract to Izzy. Like, what contract are you talking about, Paulo? He needs to just go. Okay. He needs to take a break, right? That,
Izzy, too. I'm like, yo, Izzy, he's dead. Like, Izzy, leave the guy alone. Like, he's dead. You buried him. Like, Izzy, he's dead. The guy is a corpse, man. Of course, now the corpse is talking back. Paulo Costa, go somewhere, man. Go sit down, man. Yeah. Go somewhere, Paulo Costa. Look, your TV just went off. Your TV actually just went off. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Well, like, did anyone think it was a real TV or something? I mean, a real backdrop?
Paulo Costa, go sit down somewhere, man. Don't talk. Just take your licks. All you can do is just take your licks.
He said,
after what happened to you,
sign the best was sign the contract. What contract? The
contract.
I am very confident there is no contract out there.
Go fight somebody else, man. Go fight somebody else. Izzy and Jones, and dare I say, going into the Jones Adesanya fight, if Jones can't take this dude down, he's at a major disadvantage. He does not strike as well. He can't strike with Israel Adesanya. There's no chance. He needs to take him down, and if he can't, he is going to be in trouble against this dude.
All right.
He's as smooth as they come.
Well, I hope that they make hay.
Soul brother. He has a soul brother right there. Well, like, he calls Jared Cannonier. Soul brother number one is Israel Adesanya, boy. Woo. He's smooth, boy. Isaac Hayes smooth.
Oh, I love
Isaac Hayes with a gold chain.
Damn, I love the chef.
Ooh, chef.
May he rest in peace.
What's something that works so well that it's basically magic? Air conditioning, noise-canceling headphones, meeting-free Fridays. Well, what about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch at your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're auctioning autographed apparel or selling sleek skis, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/DCRC. All lowercase, go to shopify.com/DCRC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/DCRC.
Now, DC, after last week's show, all hell breaks loose. Not only is Conor McGregor calling you a fat fool, he's also booking a fight against Dustin Poirier. All hell breaks loose.
He called me a fat fool.
Yeah, that was a nice.
Yes, that's so disrespectful, right?
Yeah, and I went up to him. I said, Conor, don't you dare talk about DC like that.
No, you didn't. Disrespectful. That's one person you'd never say. You did not say nothing to Conor.
The
one person you don't talk about is Conor. You're so scared of Conor.
No, what are you talking about?
You're afraid of Conor.
I'm afraid of him.
Yeah, you are.
Like what? Like what's going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea what he's told you privately that does not allow you to like stand up for me against him.
You have crossed the line. That's it.
I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed in you. Like my father used to say, I am disappointed that you
I'm not mad.
There.
I'm not mad.
Right.
I'm just disappointed. That's worse than being mad.
And I was disappointed in the use of fat fool. I mean, I just felt like that was too much. By the way, you know who deserves all the blame for all this? It's our friends in social media, Eric and Tessa, because they write those tweets with those and they tag Conor. They know he's going to respond. They're the real instigators because that's how everyone gets mad.
But listen, the social team, they're fantastic. Aren't
they are fantastic.
We have some good clips. We have some good pictures. Yeah. It always looks so good.
It is good.
Man, I love it. I love it.
Better chance of happening, Conor Pacquiao or Conor Poirier charity boxing match in Dublin?
Neither one of them. Neither really? One are happening. Conor Poirier exhibition won't happen. Conor Pacquiao won't happen. It'll be Conor Poirier in the UFC. But here's the thing, right?
That's not happening either.
If you're Dustin Poirier, right, you weren't able to come to terms with fighting Tony Ferguson because of the amount of money you wanted, right? Now you're going to fight in a charity match? Like, bro, go get paid. Dustin, go get paid. Go get paid to fight this dude. If you ain't going to fight Tony and you want to fight Conor, it can still happen. But go get paid in the UFC to do it. That's why I think they're going to fight.
Let me tell you what happened. Conor's frustrated. Poirier's frustrated. So he said, hey, let's go into business for ourselves. UFC's response was, oh, two UFC contracted fighters? You guys going to go fight in a gym in Dublin? No, here's a bout agreement to fight under our lights. But here's the thing, DC. Poirier's never been offered that fight. Still to this moment hasn't been offered.
Really?
That fight's not a real thing. There's a better chance of the Pacquiao fight happening than that fight. Number one, UFC and Conor stand to make a heck of a lot more money. Right? With the Pacquiao fight. That's a big deal. I don't care what anyone says about the fight. It's a big deal. Make a lot more money. And we all know Poirier-Conor was never in their plans. They were going to do Poirier-Ferguson, right? Conor versus Khabib Gaethje winner. That fight's not in their plans. That was just a response to the tweets because they didn't want to feel like Conor was showing them up, right? I don't think that fight's going to happen anytime soon. It's not in the works at all. Here's the thing. Poirier jumped at it too quickly. He should have said, like, I feel like Poirier is kind of being used as a pawn in all of this, right? Like he needs to stick to his guns and honestly needs to push the fight in November on that pay-per-view card that just lost Cody Garbrandt because that card needs a little beefing up. They need to do Poirier versus Ferguson, both guys on the sidelines, and just fight there. And the Conor thing is not going to happen. It's not in the works. It's not in their plans. And I think he needs to recognize that. And it's definitely not going to happen in a charity boxing match in Dublin. No. UFC would never stand for it. Legally, they couldn't stand for it.
Well, that's why he called it a sparring match, right? Because you can't tell people they can't spar. You can't tell people that they can't spar. They can go spar any time of the week.
But you can't broadcast it, right?
Well, you can broadcast a sparring session. Why not?
I mean, you think it'll happen?
I don't think it's happening because I think they'll come to terms. I think they'll make it happen in the UFC if they want to fight. But you just said, Well, why not do it in November, right? If, like you said, Conor wants to fight, let him fight Poirier in November, right?
Oh, I was saying Ferguson in November.
No, Conor wants to fight, right? Yeah. If this whole thing with Dustin is real, Conor, go fight Dustin in November. You guys can headline the pay-per-view while Davis and Figueiredo defends his title right before you in the co-main event. Why not do that? You want to fight, right? Like, it's over and over. I'm a fat fool because I said, if you want to fight, there's fights out there. Here you go. There's a date for you right there. Cody Garbrandt's out. Why don't you go beef up that card now and go fight your fight? It's there. How many weeks away is that, right? It's November what? We're just
– 21st.
Right? So we're in the beginning of October. You got a lot of time to prepare. Get ready. Well, it looks like you're already preparing. Go fight Dustin Poirier in November.
I know what's happening. What's happening is you're trying to back up your statement of last week that he really doesn't want to fight. That's what you believe. So you're trying to say, hey, here's a date. That's what you're doing.
Fight date right there, right? That's what you think you're doing, you just right? want to fight? Go ahead. Right, Ariel. You said, I just want to fight anybody. I'm willing to fight Diego Sanchez. Well, here you go. November
what is this about? 23rd. What's this truly about? Do you have an agreement with Khabib that you can't say anything positive about Conor? Is that what's happening here?
Bro, I always say positive things
about Conor. Why are you such a Conor hater?
No, I like Conor. I did a show on Conor back in the day. I think Conor's a great guy. I think he's always very nice whenever we're in person to each other. He's never, ever been disrespectful. He's always been great, shakes your hand, always looks you in the eye and talks to you. I speak about his – I detail on him with the Cowboy Cerrone fight. I talk positively about him all the time. But if you're going to hold somebody to task, you have to hold him to task if you're going to compliment him when they do things right. Mm-hmm. I just want to know the truth, right? If you really want to fight, then go fight. There's another date right there. There's one date that you can definitely fight on. It's a pay-per-view. It's 6-7 weeks away. Go fight that fight and fight Dustin. Everything works. It's kind of simple, honestly, right? It's kind of simple. Like, everybody wants to – like, you want to fight. You're going to make a ton of money regardless of who you fight, right? It doesn't matter. Whoever kind of fights is going to make a boatload of money because he's that guy. He's the biggest star in the world. You want to fight Dustin Poirier in the charity match? Why do it in the charity match? Go get paid for it. November 21st now has lost one of the biggest name on the card. Go fight there. It just makes you, and you don't have to fight a guy like Diego, right? You get to fight a real guy that if you win, now you're on a 2-fight winning streak, and we can justify putting you right back into a title fight. It all works.
Yep.
It makes absolute sense. Well, I guess this is not me trying to go at Conor. I don't care. Hey, I don't care if Conor calls me a fat fool because he would never say it to my face, right? Like, that stuff doesn't matter to me. Like, those people talking on the internet, that's fine. And if he gets frustrated, sure. Well, next time I see him, he'll be respectful. He'll shake my hand. Just as we always have been. The reality is, I want to see him fight just like the next guy. So let's go make it happen. There's a pay-per-view right now waiting for you.
Well, I guess what the risk is that if you do that fight, I really like that idea, by the way. November 21st, it's a few weeks after the Khabib-Gaethje fight. You know,
and it lines up, right?
Well, what if he loses now? You can't do the Khabib-Conor fight that they want to do. And that we found out last week that was in the plans to be coaches. They were supposed to be coaches on Tough. Now, we don't know what the status of this is because one side is saying it's up in the air. One side saying, whatever the case is, can Conor and Khabib actually be coaches on Tough? Like, can they actually do this?
I don't think they'll be able to be in the same area.
Right.
Because Conor's going to be who he is, which is great, though. It's great for television. The problem is Islam Makhachev and Khabib and Usman and Umar and all those guys, Manap. They're not going to be okay with him just kind of being kind of in their space. I think it'll be very difficult, but it would make for some great television to always keep those guys separated. But then Ariel, it's like, here's the thing, right? Like, how does the narrative change so fast, right? It was, I want this season and I want to fight all this time. Now there's a date open, right? But then are we going to look at it like, but what if he loses? Well, if you're going to fight the season every time you go into the octagon, there's a chance that you lose.
Well, the fact that there was this deal to put Tough with Conor and Khabib just is more evidence that
they want the fight.
That Conor versus Poirier was never in their plans, that it was just a retaliation for the tweets. Now, they may have fallen into something here, and of course, no one's happy about Garbrandt being hurt, torn bicep. He's going to come back next year, so now it's Alex Perez versus Davison Figueiredo for the belt.
Alex Perez, Davison Figueiredo as a main event. You need something on top of that.
You also have Valentina Shevchenko versus Jennifer Maia. But again, it's a very thin pay-per-view.
Bro, you need something.
Yeah, Conor versus...
If Conor McGregor fights, I'm putting him in the main event and those two title fights right under it. It doesn't – people will be okay with that. I know people
but
like
historically,
have,
they don't like title fights on Conor cards.
I understand. But I think you have – Conor can't fight in anything but a main event.
Oh,
regardless
100%.
Of who's fighting, he right. needs to be in the main event.
No, but then so, Shevchenko and Figueiredo get pay-per-view points off a Conor fight when –
And I understand. And what if he doesn't want to do that, right? Because then he's just feeding those guys. But the reality is, like, what's it matter? You want to see him fight? I want to see him fight. He wants to fight. It's a pay-per-view. Let's go.
That would be – by the way, you mentioned Usman. You surprised he signed with Bellator?
Not really. But all the things I've heard about Usman is that he's just – he's the best one, right? He's young.
Have you trained with him?
No, he hasn't come yet. He's the one of the ones that hasn't been to America yet. But Javier was over there for a while training those guys, and he's like, Daniel, I've never seen anything like Usman and Magomedov. He goes, I mean, he might be the best one. And wow. again, when you say the best one, we're not talking about Habib today. We're talking about Habib in 2012 when we got him, right? Because
right.
it was like he was still kind of a prospect on his way up. The finished product is today, but – Habib in 2012 versus the kid Usman today, I heard that there's nothing like this kid Usman.
Well, because everyone thinks that he's a wrestler. He's actually more of a Muay Thai guy. 10 of his 11 fights, he's 11-0, perfect 11-0. 10 of his victories have been finishes. Great on his feet. I think a lot more refined on his feet than Habib yeah. was when he came to you guys. What a huge coup for Bellator and Scott Coker and company.
Well, they had a great week. They had a great week last week. They
yeah,
had a
Brett
really
Johns,
good week last
Ustam
week.
Khabilov they signed as well.
Yeah.
They had a lot going on there. They're going to Paris this weekend, but that was like, wow, shock. Because I think everyone thought Usman would follow his cousin, Habib, to the
well,
UFC.
They're all going, right? You got Umar Nurmagomedov, who's making his debut in Abu Dhabi, too. You obviously
but the fact
Abu
that the Dhabi. Best one is going to Bellator, I think, was a shocker, right?
Well, because he's young, right? And he can go fight there to start. Like, you know, when you're a guy like that, you don't know if he comes into the UFC, polishes off, dude, and you don't, and then all of a sudden he's in. And you're not sure where he belongs, right? He's so good. Because think about it. It's just like my boy Chimaev, right? Like my boy, right? From day one, I was always on this Chimaev thing. Chimaev's only had 3 fights, right? Because he's dusted guys so crazy, he's probably going to fight Wonderboy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how fast it goes for you in the UFC if you are as impressive as Usman is. So, he can go to Bellator and kind of get going there. And maybe down the line, you know, he comes over to the UFC.
Right.
Or maybe stays in Bellator. I don't understand why guys don't just like, hey, it's a great organization to fight. You know, those guys can make a lot of money and you have great careers there. But ultimately, you know, the UFC is the leader.
Okay, relax over there. Relax, Corporate DC. Hey, how about this? Last week, we have a great show. We were on fire last week, right? I mean, we were, and everyone responds. Everyone, you know, we had Jan respond. We had Connor respond. We had John Jones respond. You know who was conspicuous by his absence?
Who?
You know who's? I didn't hear any response. I didn't see anything. Mr. Harlem Cold himself.
Oh,
Mr.
yeah.
Is that over? His book?
Over.
I mean, is that – are we just moving on to
– Yeah, he tucked his tail. He tucked his tail.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, it's over, bro. It's over. Like, we can't – now at this point – now
done.
At this point, it's almost like us picking on somebody. It's
yeah,
over. Like, he's
old
done.
Guy.
He tucked his tail. Look at me. I'm 55 years old, and I'm in tip-top shape. I got my boxing gloves on, my MMA gloves, my weightlifting gloves. Look at me.
He oiled himself up.
I mean, oil, like, it's over, bro. We can't be picking on these dudes.
I just wanted to make sure. It's over.
He went from
Harlem lukewarm to just Harlem cold at this point.
Yeah,
he's like,
Harlem
now
he's cold
just
now.
Now he's Harlem stale.
He's ready. Hey, Booker T, look at me. He's probably on the golf course somewhere enjoying retirement. You know
okay,
that?
Okay.
He's not
I just
that
wanted
guy
to make
no
sure.
More, you know? Yeah,
okay,
it's, over.
To make, okay,
so,
it's over.
Can we please let him go? Can
okay.
we let him blur?
No, I just wanted to make sure. Okay, cool. All right. All right, let's give out some shout-outs before we go. Would you like to go first, DC? What do you got?
It's
what do you
over?
Got? That's
it's
a, yeah, I mean, it's a tight ship around here. I don't know if
wow.
you know. 60 minutes.
Okay.
Yes.
I want to give my first shout-out to my old rival, the guy that said he was going to break my arm and his daughter, Frank and Isabella Mir. Man, Isabella Mir is going to make her MMA debut on October 22nd in Icon Fighting Championships. And she's a very impressive young lady, Ariel. She is a 3-time wrestling state champion in Nevada. She wrestled at Bishop Gorman, transferred, and now is wrestling at a different high school. Centennial High School in Nevada. She won a state championship as an 8th grader, has the potential to be a 5-time state champ. She's making her MMA debut.
and making it in a weight class where contenders are desperately needed, right? She was a state champ at 140-something, yeah, up to 150, back down to 140. So that tells me she's right in that featherweight range, a weight class that we really need. So congratulations.
But she's fighting at 135, just for the record.
I would like for her to go to 145 at some point.
I mean,
right?
She's only 17.
Still very young. She's, yeah, 17, right? She's still very young. Maybe she'll grow into a weight class where people need featherweights. We need featherweights. Obviously, you see that there aren't many on the UFC roster at some point. Hopefully, she gets there.
Hey, what a story Marquita, that would be, right? What a story. Marquita says she wants to.
Listen. What a story that would be, right, if at some point Isabel Amir can become UFC champion and her dad. Could you imagine a dad and a daughter being UFC champions in one family? It would be absolutely insane. So good luck on your journey, Isabella. Bella is what they call her nickname. Good luck on your journey. My second one, hey, the Miami Heat. They're decimated. They're decimated, Ariel.
Yes.
They are limping into the – I mean, every game they're limping in. There's no Bam. There's no Goran Dragic. They look bad. My man Udonis Haslam was about to cry on the bench the other day. They were getting ran by 30 again. I'm like, come on, boys. Y'all got to show face. Y'all got to fight. And then last night, Jimmy Butler did his thing.
Jimmy Butler.
Tyler Hero does his thing. Hey, if those guys can make shots, they give themselves a chance. And if the guys start to come back, Bam come back, and Dragic gets to play, now we got a series. Hey, I've changed. I don't know if this is the hater in me. I don't know if this is, but I'm picking the Heat now. I'm picking the Heat in six. I think it's over. Three in a row now to win the championship.
You're trying to be like Kendrick Perkins, one of those guys with those outlandish predictions.
I would never. But I'm telling you, with the way they played, like they play with a chip on their shoulder. We
incredible.
Like people who have the chip on their shoulder.
They fought.
No, they play with some fight.
Heat and
if we're anything on DC and Helwani, we're fighters.
We're fighters.
And to see a little scratch, the little team that could, they remind me of Frankie Edgar. You know how Frankie Edgar was always out of it. He would get knocked down, but he would the little engine that could. That's what the Miami Heat looked like yesterday.
Man, what about Jimmy Buckets at the end there, right? What about Jimmy
Buckets? Here's the problem, Ariel.
Tyler Hero with the snarl.
The snarl. Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of Damian Lillard dancing and Russell Westbrook getting too excited. Normally you do that, the Lakers go and just polish you off. So, guys, be careful with your celebrations. But the Heat got a chance now.
Can't wait for, game four later on this week. Now, let me give out a few shout-outs of my own. Shout out to the great Daniel Cormier and Alexander Gustafsson, who 5 years ago this week fought in one of the all-time underrated title fights in UFC history. Not enough people talk about what you guys did at the Toyota Center that night, UFC 192. You have told me repeatedly, of all your victories, that was the toughest one, right?
It was absolutely the toughest one. What a fantastic environment. All my boys from the Rockets were in there. You know, we had Harden in there. We had
a little of this for
you. They were all, dude, it was crazy. We had Dwight Howard was with the team at the time. It was a crazy environment, insane fight, and I am forever grateful to Alexander Gustafsson for pushing me and showing me that I can go to a level that I didn't know I had inside of me.
Tremendous fight. What about this dude that I saw on Instagram who got a tattoo of you, the double champ? You see this?
Yeah.
What is this all about? Do you know who that is?
No, I don't. It was on point, too. I mean, my body looked fantastic in that picture, didn't it?
Good. Is that the first time you've seen someone get a tattoo of you?
It was exciting, but not the first, Eric. I'm not trying to be arrogant, you know, or anything. But that was the first full body that I've gotten. But this face has been tattooed on people before. You know?
Oh, my bad.
I mean, why not?
I've never had the honor. I've never had. I can't get.
I'm
I
saying,
can't
where's
get...
the tattoo of me on your body? That's what I want. What are you talking about? I want right a here. Tattoo of my face on your body.
I not can't be buried.
I want it on your back shoulder.
I can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery, hopefully in 100 years when that time comes, if I have a tattoo on my body.
Really?
So, yeah, that's a law, yeah.
That's a thing.
Happy Sukkot, by the way.
What is that?
Oh, well, that's a whole other story for a
different holiday. A holiday?
It's a Jewish holiday. Not a Canadian holiday. It's a Jewish holiday. We sit in a room outside. We eat the lulav and the etrog. It's a great time. Now, by the way, shout out to Jermaine Durandamy, first submission of her career. I mentioned that earlier. Hey, DC, shout out to Michelle Pejeta and Johnny Walker. Have you seen this footage of these two guys? DC?
Man, get out of here with that, man. You would try to compliment those guys on that?
DC. Johnny Walker needs to be actually fighting instead of dancing. Like, what is going on?
DC, this is like when you have two mid-card guys at WWE and you have no idea what to do with them, so you put them together in a tag team, right? And it's just the two crazy. Like, these two guys are made for each other, but they're just a little bit wacky, right?
So what happened? Like, what happened? How did they end up in the same place, man?
I think they're just buds. They're birds of a feather.
That is not training, man. That is not training.
When creative doesn't have anything to do for you, like, you guys be tag teams for like like, it's like when Kane
and putting everybody over too. Put people over, getting pinned every time. Like, come on, man, get out of here with that crap, man. I don't see that stupid dance.
All right, sorry. Hey, shout out to Angela Lee, the ONE Championship, 105-pound champion. She announced last week that she is pregnant and she will be giving birth to her first child in April. Hey, by the way, we never gave a shout out to Ariane Celeste, longtime UFC Octagon girl who delivered her first baby.
Oh,
girl.
She had her baby.
Yeah.
Congrats, Ariane.
Baby boy, baby girl. I don't remember, but it was a baby and everyone's healthy, so that's most important. And finally, shout out to Corey Sandhagen and Marlon Moraes. They'll be headlining the UFC event this Saturday. Big fight for Corey Sandhagen coming off that loss to Aljamain Sterling. Big fight for Marlon Moraes. I believe, will you be in Abu Dhabi when this happens?
I'll be in Abu Dhabi, but. Yep. I will not be at the fight because
in quarantine.
Ariel, let me tell you something. This travel is something else. So on Wednesday, I go to Vegas. I have to be in my room by 5 o'clock on Vegas after getting tested. Up until from that point on, I am quarantined until Friday morning. In the middle of the night, I then will wake up, go to the airport, and travel to Abu Dhabi. This takes 20 hours or something, 18 hours.
Yeah.
Once I arrive in Abu Dhabi, I will be taken directly to the hotel. I mean, directly to the hotel where they will test me again. I think I test Wednesday and Thursday in Vegas. So two tests in Vegas. Then I will go directly to Abu Dhabi, into the hotel. Another one of these, up my nose test. From there, I will go to the hotel into my room for a 48-hour quarantine. Tested that day, tested the next day in order to be clean. And once I am tested, by Tuesday, I think, Monday or Tuesday, I will be able to walk around the perimeter of the fight bubble, the fight island bubble. So I've got about 5 days of traveling quarantine before I'm able to do anything. So it's about to be a rough one for me. So I'm going to be on that NBA. I'm gonna be in the park, baby. I'm going to be playing NBA 2K and UFC 4. So if you really want to test yourself against me on EA UFC 4, let's go. I'll have plenty of time.
Well, I hope you got a lot of Beverly Hillbillies episodes waiting for you because you'll have a lot of free time.
I got a new show, Designated Survivor. Please watch it. It's so good on Netflix. It's a great show.
Well, next week you'll be joining us from Abu Dhabi, so that'll be very fun. Actually, the next like few weeks you'll be on the road.
Have you guys figured out how to send a TV?
Yeah, we'll have the TV set. Wait, I guess we just exposed that this is not
a real thing. Yeah. Can I borrow yours? Can
you I'll send here? It for you. Or I'll just come. I didn't get the invite to go, but maybe I'll, you know, I haven't been
it's
to
Fight Island. It's kind of sad that you'll never experience Fight Island.
Yeah, I'm not too sad about it, if I'm being honest.
You're not?
No, I'm not too sad.
Why?
I mean, I like being here.
There was golf in Fight Island, but they took it away from us. So I can't even golf anymore. They took the golf out of Fight Island. Sad.
Sad.
It's sad. Well,
I'll be thinking about you, okay? Have a safe trip. DC. So that's it.
It's over. The show's over.
Well, everyone's very upset. We've gone way too long.
It's been 8 minutes.
I mean, what do you mean 8 minutes?
It's just 8 minutes longer. Yeah.
It's a tight. If we were on linear television right now and we went 8 minutes over, we would be in huge trouble.
Okay, so, you're right.
You know
right.
What I'm saying? We'd already be in PTI because we're gonna be right. Oh, you know, like it'd be.
And, we'd be getting bumped. We'd be getting bumped by the curling championships of the world.
So anyway, DC, safe travels. I'll be thinking about you. Great stuff as always. Thanks to our sponsors, DraftKings and Manscaped. Thanks to all of you. And continue to rate, download, subscribe, review. Do all those things that you do because we're trying to climb those rankings.
And we got some numbers. Boy, we got some numbers and you guys are helping us.
So woo, please.
You guys are helping us. Thank you.
Keep it up.
Come on. Let's eat. Come on, guys. Let's eat. Let's eat all the way up to number one on ESPN.
Back next week, same time and place. Until then, we say peace. We're out of here.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is... Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.